a radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
همه مردم عزادارن، یعنی احساس عزاداری میکنن. بدونید که قدر
All of the people are bereaved and grateful to your father, and this gratitude is due to the outstanding
sincerity.
If Allah allows my blood to be shed, I am gladly willing to give my life up for him.
The blood of martyrs keeps this heart beating and keeps the way of Imam al-Hussein alive forever. The enemy must realize that nothing can stop us.
Today is a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani. Dear listeners, just recently, the great military commander of Islamic forces, the legendary Haj Qasim Soleimani, was cowardly assassinated by the U.S. armed forces in Iraq. This great man was a living legend and was extremely popular not only in his home country, but all over the region of West Asia. He was liked by all freedom fighters of the region for his outstanding leadership and intellect. General Qasim Soleimani was able to completely get rid of ISIS in Iraq thanks to the special and effective measures he took. One of the best things that happened under his leadership was the formation of the Iraqi Popular Armed Forces and Militia, known by their Arabic name Al-Hashdu Shabi, which literally translates as People's Mobilization Committee. Together with Haj Qasim Soleimani, this popular armed group was able to defeat ISIS. As you know, ISIS is a Salafi group that emerged after the fall of Saddam in Iraq. General Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani and the Quds forces under his command began fighting this group and became victorious after years of battle. This is the voice of Ayatollah Khamenei in the house of Shahid Qasim Soleimani.
همه مردم عزادارن، یعنی احساس عزاداری میکنن. بدونید که قدر
All of the people are bereaved and grateful to your father, and this gratitude is due to the outstanding sincerity which existed in him because the hearts are in the hands of God. Without sincerity, the people's hearts wouldn't have recognized him in this way. May Allah bestow his blessings on all of us and all the Iranian nation. Today, you saw how the people in different cities of the country came to the streets in great numbers and with exceptional devotion. You will also see his funeral with great numbers. These blessings are before our eyes, so we understand the value of martyrdom. What a blessing for Hajj Qasim, who achieved his dream. He cherished martyrdom, shed tears for it, and mourned for his martyred friends.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Two of the most important armed divisions under the leadership of Shahid Qasim Soleimani are the Fatimiyun Division, who are Pakistani militants, and Zainabiyun, who are Afghan militants. They're currently fighting the Takfiri elements in Syria. They're called the Defenders of the Shrine. They get their name from the holy shrine of Lady Zainab that they're guarding in Damascus, Syria. Until now, thanks to the measures that were taken by the commander, Shahid Hajj Qasim Soleimani, the terrorist groups in Syria have been unable to execute the plan of their Western masters of toppling the pro-resistance government of Syria. As for ISIS, in the year 2014, ISIS captured the strategic city of Mosul, and the Iraqi capital Baghdad was on the verge of collapse. However, thanks to the prudence of the great martyr of Islam, Shahid General Hajj Qasim Soleimani, along with the forces of Al-Hashd al-Sha'bi of Iraq, the forces of Islam were able to expel ISIS from Iraq. The prime minister of that time, Haydar al-Abadi, named Shahid Qasim Soleimani as one of the most primary allies of Iraq in their battle against ISIS. This is the voice of Shahid Qasim Soleimani, along with the English translation of his words.
Steps are flowing towards Allah. Surely we belong to Allah, and surely we return towards Him. What is better for a person than to choose a great death, a voluntary one by his own will? If Allah allows my blood to be shed, I am gladly willing to give my life up for Him. The brave men dance and parade courageously upon the spiritual battlefield. Brave men are the ones who dance upon their own blood. Since they are freed from the self, they clap their hands. Because they escape from their own flaws, they make a dance.
تشنه زارم به خون خیشتن تشنه زارم به خون خیشتن گر بریزد خون من آن دوشو پای کوبان جان برفشانم برو پای کوبان جان برفشانم برو
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. As everyone knows by now, the most influential figure who foiled the plots of the West and Zionists in West Asia, which they call the Middle East, is the legendary former commander of the Quds Force of IRGC, Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani. America had spent and probably is still spending billions of dollars, rather trillions of dollars, on bolstering and arming ISIS. Yet, Qasem Soleimani and the forces under his command were able to defeat them all with less than half of the money spent by America and the West. Of course, it is God who is helping them. Allah has said in the Quran that whoever helps his cause, he will definitely help them and grant them a decisive victory. On November 21st, 2017, Haj Qasem Soleimani wrote a letter to the great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, and announced the end of Daesh and their domination in the region. He also informed him of the hoisting of the flag of Syria in Albu Kamal, one of the cities in Syria bordering Iraq. Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani had also shown formidable presence in rocket and missile operations against the cancerous tumor of the region, the apartheid terrorist Zionist regime of Israel. General Haj Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3rd, 2020. He achieved his dream of martyrdom, which he awaited for decades. May Allah bless him and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
Qasem Soleimani, one of the greatest and bravest generals of the Iranian army, joined his martyred friends after a terrorist attack on Friday, January 3, 2020. The enemy must know that we are a nation that is not frightened with blood and killing. Our children are born and raised with the love of martyrdom. We are not afraid of sacrificing our lives in the way of Allah. Just as our great leader, Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, said, "We are the children of Muharram." We were raised with the stories of real heroes such as Imam al-Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, and Lady Zainab. What is the enemy scaring us of? Death for us is sweeter than honey, just like Qasim, the son of Imam al-Hassan, said. Even if they cut us into pieces, just like Hazrat Abbas, just like Ali Akbar, just like Qasem Soleimani, they will never be able to take away our faith and our power. The blood of martyrs keeps this heart beating and keeps the way of Imam al-Hussein alive forever. The enemy must realize that nothing can stop us. The more they kill from us, the more awake our nation will become. And we will make ourselves ready to take revenge. Inshallah, God willing, the decline of the enemies of Islam is very close. And the uprising of our awaited 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is near. May we also give our lives in the way of our Imam and in the way of Islam.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
Welcome back to Aperture. In the first part of the program, we follow Javad, an Iranian nature explorer and documentary filmmaker, to the south of Iran and saw the most amazing combination nature could match together, the desert and the sea. We also met the region's native inhabitants and got acquainted with their unique lifestyle. Stay with us as Javad travels to other villages of the region to discover the culture and customs of the people.
In the past, the staple grains for all of Iran came from Sistan and Balochistan. But what for severe drought spells and misguided planning over the years, the province has completely lost that status. But today, in some areas of this province, and in the Bahu Kalat district in particular, all kinds of vegetables and tropical fruits are cultivated. There is a mango tree that's in full bloom, exploding with blossoms. In about 5 months, they will turn into delicious, juicy mangoes. This is heaven indeed. Walking around in the palm groves and other gardens in Bahu Kalad gives me a lot of peace. One of the most beautiful things I come across during my stroll is the Baluchi squirrel. The Baluchi squirrel, also known as the stripy or palm squirrel, is a unique species of rodents living in parts of Iran, Pakistan, India, Nepal, and Bangladesh. The most distinctive feature of this mammal is the dark stripes on a white background on its back. In the past, the inhabitants of Sistan and Baluchistan believed these stripes were the fingerprints of the gods. A typical Baluchi squirrel is between 13 and 15 centimeters from its head to the end of its rump, and its tail adds an additional 14 to 19 centimeters to its total length. It's quite refreshing to see Baluchi children playing and gallivanting around in the banana groves. Beautiful, pure souls, the product of their serene, peaceful surroundings. Children of Shir Gwaz spend the whole week waiting to go to the fruit groves near the village to expend some of their inexhaustible energy. What they also do is they cook their traditional food on their own, and just like their elders, they gather around, sing, and play. The kids here have distinctive, innocent faces. They are just gorgeous. And they're all wearing their traditional costumes, boys and girls alike, all wearing traditional clothes. They are among the oldest, most original tribes in Iran. They're very noble and very patient. They are a people with a lot of patience. And although some of them don't have good living conditions, they are very patient folks. They're so content. The Baluchi culture is the perfect example of a culture of nobility and peace. And those cultural traits are readily visible in the architecture of the old houses in this village. The architectural design is endemic to Baluchistan. You can't see anything like this anywhere else in Iran. There are also new houses in these areas with designs influenced by Indian and Pakistani cultures and architectures. One of the characteristics of Baluch families is their large populations. Wherever in the village I go, I'm surrounded by many of the little angels offering a breath of fresh air after a long day of hard work. They fill my heart with peace and joy. Perhaps one of the reasons these kids are so happy is their beautiful, tranquil, natural environments. Just as influential is the beautiful, happy colors used in the clothes that these little girls have on. Clothes that are embroidered by the artistic hands of their mothers. Hand embroidery on colorful clothes and fabric is among the most important crafts of Baluchi women. And fortunately, Baluchi women have been able to preserve this exquisite art, a skill handed down through generations. It's noontime. It can get really hot in Shir Gwaz, even in the middle of winter. But the boys of the village have a good solution to fighting the scorching heat. What they do at a time like this is jump into the waters of Shir Gwaz River and swim to their heart's content. These children usually play together in groups. The day offers an opportunity for me to make a return to the beautiful carefree days of my own childhood. Live life as an uninhibited, unabashed explorer of the unknown. Playing with these children serves as an outlet for the negative energy in me. Although the children in Shirguaz don't have much to entertain themselves with, they're all growing up happy, healthy, and strong by playing in groups and making the best of what their natural environment provides them with. No computers to spend the whole day on, playing virtual computer games that don't involve any physical activity, video games that have taken the place of playing outside for many kids today, outdoor experiences in nature, and plenty of physical activity that a growing body craves. These children's only toy is nature, going up trees, diving into the river and swimming, playing with animals, singing songs and helping their parents at home and on the farm, frolicking around and playing with stones and pebbles. This non-stop joyful mobility is the reason behind these children's physical health and happy disposition. Very soon, I leave the village and set out for my next destination. I have to travel 250 kilometers to the west of Balochistan, to a place 80 kilometers north of the city of Nikshar, a name that reminds me of my country's beautiful north. Given its unique geographical location, Balochistan has a diverse and strange climate. Some parts of this area is affected by the tropical climate of India, in the south by the Sea of Oman, in the west by the Jaz-Murian inland basin, and in the north by Lut Desert. Surrounded by these different climatic conditions, Balochistan features diverse lifestyles and various plant and animal species. Balochistan is a dry, water-thirsty land. The average annual rainfall in the province is around 110 millimeters. But the important thing is, all that water comes down in only a couple of torrential rainfalls that cause the rivers in the province to overflow their banks. The ensuing flooding leaves behind a trail of destruction every time. The people here tell me they get snow and blizzards in some winters too, because of the mountains in the Gorgan area. Perhaps you'll find it interesting to know there is a place named Gorgan in Sistan and Balochistan province. But no, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the city of Gorgan in the north of Iran. This area is comprised of around 11 villages punctuating this mountainous area. It can get freezing cold here. The people of Balochistan say, except for Mount Taftan and Mount Basman, the only other place where you can see snow in the highlands is the same Gorgan region in Balochistan. It can get really cold here. Because of the altitude and the relatively good rainfall here, this valley usually has a good amount of water, and abundant water means life and prosperity. The people of Gorgan are either farmers or orchard owners or livestock keepers. The most important thing for them to be able to do any of those things is to have clean drinking water. The people of the first village I visit are very kind and hospitable. In my conversations with them, I realize all the young people in the village are busy working simply because there is enough water. Everyone has something to do. They're all grateful to God for all their blessings. Their biggest asset is contentment. I could say most of the things I have seen in this village were built from scratch by the men and women living here. They are all content with what they have. They even have electricity. They live a beautiful, simple, and healthy life, away from the hustle and bustle of city life and excesses that distract human beings from their true self and from nature. The Baluch community leads a simple lifestyle in their simple homes in Baluchistan. They don't even expect a paved road. The peace that these lovely people exude is a breath of fresh air against the vicissitudes of city life. I am so at peace when I am in their fold. Before long, I resume my journey and arrive in the village of Archenik, a bucolic settlement second to none. But it isn't the architecture and natural environment that lends Archenik its beauty. The most beautiful thing I come across is the hospitality of the local inhabitants. Archenikis are hard-working, hospitable people. Moments after I reach the village, one of the elders comes to welcome me and invite me to his beautiful house, and the family gives me the red carpet treatment. Personally, I have a lot of respect for the culture and customs of this lovely ancient tribe and have tried my best not to have a negative impact on the culture or any of the good social norms of this community. Instead, I learned from them things that I had no idea about before I met them. I have had many trips to far and exotic places in Iran. And on those trips, I saw many and varied village houses and nomad tents, but nothing like the teeps in the Gorgan region, beautiful, modest homes that offer peace and tranquility, just like their natural surroundings. Village elder Pir Muhammad fills me in on how they build their houses. My trip is nearing its end. That means I have to leave the beautiful Sistan and Baluchistan province and head back home. I leave with a bag of experience and memories as sweet as the dates of Gorgan, and I do so knowing that I haven't done any harm to the natural environment and the culture of this ancient tribe.
Well, I'm quite sure that this week's documentary about Iran's natural wonders intrigued all our audience across the globe, and I hope it inspires you to come and explore the hidden treasures of Iran. And that's it for this week. Do keep in touch with us, and until next week, goodbye.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today we want to talk about the religion of Islam, the fastest growing religion all around the world. Muslim population growth, we can say, it is believed that between 2015 and 2060, Muslim population is projected to increase by 70%, you know, and this is really a high, and some believe that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Why? The question is this. Brother Muhammad, let's start with you.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praises are to God and salutations to the noble prophet and his pure progeny. For us to understand the growth of Islam, we need to look at Islam itself and see what made Islam the fastest growing religion in the world. The point is, if you see, in the Quran itself, Allah says, "Akmaltu lakum dinukum, atmamtu alaykum ni'mati," meaning that, and this deen also has an interpretation, meaning that God Almighty has given you the way of life now, the final way of life. And then if you put this verse next to the verse, "Inna deena indallahi al-Islam," right? We need to understand the proper tafsir and the interpretation of these two verses. The first one is that Islam, when we mean Islam, means taslim ilallah, meaning being submissive to God Almighty. So there is not a single prophet, there is not a single religion, true religion that came from God Almighty through his prophets that was not Islam. Prophet Adam was also Islam, Prophet Nuh Islam, and onwards. Jesus, Moses, all came. And if you ask a Christian, what do you follow? They say, we follow, in other words, it's Islam. Why? Because they submit to God Almighty. You ask a Jew, what do you follow? Islam. They submit to God Almighty, though in their own different ways, right? Now, the reason why Islam has grown is because it's the upgraded version of all the previous religions. Akmaltu lakum dinukum. We've perfected your religion. And religion, unfortunately, has after specifically after the Dark Ages, has given a picture of only priests and maulanas and the clergymen in the mosques and their centers and so on. No. When we mean religion, a way of life, your behavior with your family, your beliefs, your behavior with your people, the way you work, the way you earn. The permissible earnings, the impermissible, all of this the package of all of this is considered Islam. The belief of life before this life, the life, this life itself, and the life after this life. All of this is considered Islam. And okay. I think the core reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world is because of Islam itself and the perfection of Islam. Mm-hmm. And anybody who gives, like for example, what Ayatollah, the leader of the Islamic Republic, he mentions in his letter to the youth of Europe, he says, do not take the word of the mainstream media as your final conclusion. Do your own research. This paves the first step for a person who really is seeking truth to find out what Islam is, to be really, without any discrimination. When a person looks at Islam, he will naturally be inclined to it because he understands the concepts, the philosophies, the important elements of Islam, and how close it is to nature. It is actual nature. It is the nature, and it is the way of life.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much, brother. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, do you also believe that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world? According to statistics, on different centers they're doing, it is believed that Islam, in general, the religion of Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, and might be, maybe, we can't say from 20, 25 or 30 years from now on, might be maybe the most followed by religion in the world. Do you believe that?
Yes, of course. First of all, we should know that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the Western societies, not in the Eastern societies.
Okay.
Because in the East, we have some religions like Buddhism, Hinduism. Mm-hmm. These religions, they have a kind of spiritual teachings for their followers. And while in the Western schools of thought, in the modern schools of thought, like philosophies like existentialism, pragmatism, communism, socialism, idealism, all these different ism, you do not find any kind of spirituality in these schools of thought. While human beings are always seeking spirituality,
yes,
they need this spirituality because we believe that not only we believe it's the fact, it's the reality that human beings are of two kind of dimensions. Their existence has two kind of dimensions or aspects. One is the material and physical and bodily dimension, and the other one is the transcendent or immaterial or spiritual kind of dimension for the human being. So in the modern schools of thought, yeah, they provide human being with whatever they need physically and materially.
Okay.
Because materially the life is good in the Western societies, yes, in Europe, in the USA, as compared to the other countries. It could be better. But at the same time, there is depression, there is hopelessness, there's lots of other psychological and mental kind of problems and diseases that they suffer, the people of, for example, Sweden, Denmark, let's say, all these countries. According to the statistics, the life is the best life in these countries.
Okay.
Yeah, the material life, I mean the physical life, according to the statistics. If you search, for example, which country is the best country, they will introduce you to Sweden, for example.
Okay.
But if you search for about the people of Sweden, the Swedish people, you see that lots of suicide kind of... suicide is committing by these people.
Depression, hopelessness.
Yeah, lots of painful kind of diseases they suffer from a lot.
I've heard recently, for example, in Japan, which is really a high tech society, in Tokyo, some of the people they hire a family. They hire a family to talk to them, you know, just flee away from depression and loneliness and something like that. Yeah. That's right. As you said, that's right. Everything not limited to the materialistic world.
Yeah, of course. Yes. When you limit human being, their life into material life, into physical life, of course, it means that you ignored a very important dimension of his existence, which is spiritual.
And you believe that Islam
provides,
can help,
especially
in the modern world,
exactly,
for all the people across the world to get back to the spiritual sense of the world. That's right.
Look at, for example, the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's a religious system.
Okay.
In both economic, materially kind of spheres of life and spiritual. In both of them, they try to try their best to provide the people with all these things that they need. So that's why they succeed.
Okay.
But if you just limited the people's life, like communism or socialism, their main slogan was this, that we provide you with what? With, for example, food or a shelter, for example, finally a cloth.
Yes.
This was the main slogan or the main objective of socialism in the
Equal
world.
Equal wages or something like that. That's right.
So while the people need something beyond these things, that is the spirituality.
Okay.
I think that it could be one of the main reasons that for the Western societies, Westerners, Islam is interesting.
Okay.
Because Islam provides them with both physical and, let's say, material needs, as well as the spiritual needs.
Of course, the Islam that is shown on the media is very different from the real Islam, isn't it?
Yeah, that
and
is true.
I think if the true face of the Islam is shown to the people and not deviated from the right path, because especially in the recent years by these extremist group like ISIS and this and that, they tried, or after 9/11, okay, they tried to give and disgrace somehow Islam, give a kind of bad reputation or notorious look at the Muslim leaders and Islam all across the world. But I think that the people must get the true discerning power to differentiate between the true Islam and the media of false Islam, isn't it, Brother Muhammad?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the media itself, to be honest, helped Islam. If you look at the growth of Islam in the United States, the statistics, the highest peak of there was a spike of growth of Muslims after 9/11.
Yes.
Why? What is the reason? 9/11 was supposed to propagate against Islam, was supposed to show how terrorizing Muslims are. But eventually what happens is after the incident, the people
they eventually research, right? The people, especially who are after the truth, they research. When they see that what's going on, it's oppression. Mm-hmm. And and in Farsi, we have this very famous proverb, we say, Adu shabat sabab khair gar khuda khahad. The enemy becomes the reason for goodness if God wants. This is it. The enemy tries to propagate against Islam. And then when the youths, they go to research about Islam, they understand, oh, the core of Islam is not what's being advertised. Yeah. And these people who kind of, and to be honest, they do realize that these people who are kind of portraying themselves as Islam, and they're showing this aggressive part of, you know, so-called Islam, these are actually sponsored by non-Islamic regimes, exactly. Non-Islamic tyrannies. Right, and they understand all of this, and then they come to the conclusion that Islam is the right way of life. And to be, and even further than that, I think we should all not only look at outside of the diameter of Islam. Look at how Islam itself is structured. It's very beautiful, as a matter of fact. And certain points we must consider when we see the why Islam is the fastest growing religion on earth. The first is the Prophet himself. He kept encouraging the Muslims to have more children. And if you look at the average children, the birth rate of a Muslim family is double or sometimes triple than a non-Muslim family. And it's not because if you look at and the more astonishing thing is the Muslims generally are in much more poverty than the other religions, but they still have more children. And why? Because they have this very great important, they give importance and reverence to Islam. Further than that, if you look at the marriages, God says if you want according to the commandments, according to the ahkam of Islam, a man cannot permanently marry a non-Muslim woman, likewise vice versa. Now, some might say, oh, why is your Islam straitjacketing us, not allowing us to have this love and so on? Look, love is in its own position. Yes. But we are looking at something much more greater than love. You're looking at the belief and the worldview and the ideology of this person being stake. That's why if you see many of these people who become Muslims, and they're very prominent Muslims because of their wives and their husbands.
That's right.
They fall in love to their wives. They fall in love to their husband. And then they were forced to accept, but then when they realize, oh, this force that they were forced to accept Islam before their marriage, it was actually the best thing in their life. Mm-hmm. They understood that Islam is actually the right way of living.
Yes,
this is as I mentioned previously, the core of Islam itself brings people, because it's so close to the fitrah, the instinct nature of mankind, that it brings and attracts like a magnet towards itself.
Malcolm X has a beautiful quote regarding Islam. He says that America needs to understand Islam because this is the one religion that erases from its because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white. But the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. This is important, okay? I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And this is the main difference between Malcolm X before converting to Islam and after that. Because before that, he was after the rights of the minorities, I mean the colored people, the black community or something like that. But he said, when I got to Mecca, I traveled and I got Hajj pilgrimage. Then I could understand that this has been the religion of Islam who could save us all in America from racism, you know, color problem and something like that. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. Thank you much. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. You've always been so close.
everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Shaykh Qasim Muhammadi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin wa ajjal farajahum. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is For Humanity. We've been talking about arguments from the Quran and the Ahadith with respect to the necessity of discussing a human being's reality. And we pointed out that in order for knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether through present knowledge or acquired knowledge, al-ilm al-husuli or al-ilm al-huduri, we need to know humanity and we need to know the reality of man. And we mentioned some of the ayat that relates to this issue. Now I'm just want to add one tradition to this ayat that and the verses of the Quran that we talked about. And inshallah, we're going to go to the next topic. So this is a very famous hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah. Or man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbah. The one who knows themselves knows their Lord. And this is, I believe, is so obvious with respect to the reality and with respect to actually the relationship between knowing oneself and knowing God. Now let's talk about the relationship between studying and knowing the reality of human being and prophethood. For sure, the belief that amongst human beings there are some people who reach the position of prophethood surely relates to the topic of studying and knowing the reality of human being. We know that when the prophets were sent, some people would always ask and, you know, question the fact that is it basically possible that God reveals his revelation through human beings? You know, this is what people would question and doubt at those times. And we have this verse from the Quran that they question this actually fact. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 24. فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَنْزَلَ مَلَائِكَةً مَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ. The unbelieving assembly of his nation said, this is but a human like you who desires to gain superiority over you. Had Allah willed, he could have sent down angels. We never heard of this among our ancient forefathers. So, you know, this is what, you know, the question or the doubt, the misconception that they have, that is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send human beings as prophets? And this is this question comes from the lack of knowledge about the reality of human beings, and they didn't know what humanity was capable of, and that was why they questioned the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down human beings as prophets and as the intermediary factor between he and the human beings. Let's have a short break, and inshallah we're going to continue our discussion after this break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your